from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to the Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll chat with Storytelling Arts' Ellen Munns.
I'll find out about A Girl's Gift, a program that uses the arts and business to shape impressionable young women's lives.
And I'll talk with comedian Scott Gregory about a benefit he is doing for CHIP. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call...
What'll we do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Storytelling Arts of Indiana promotes the art and use of storytelling in everyday life. Travis DiNicola sat down with Executive Director Ellen Munns to find out what it's been like to be telling stories for over 25 years and what's next.
Ellen, welcome back to Art of the Matter. And I guess I should say welcome back since you just got back from Cuba.
Yes, such an exciting trip.
That's so cool.
It was very cool.
I bet you're going to have lots of stories to tell about that.
Yes. I can't wait to go back.
Mm-hmm. So, well, we'll talk about actually that in just a minute because I am curious about that. But let's talk about Storytelling Arts and some of the things that you guys have coming up this summer. First off, the quick background. Storytelling Arts is an organization that promotes storytelling.
Yes.
And a whole lot more.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what we do.
Tell me about Storytelling Arts.
We're 26 years old. We'll be 27 in August or September. We'll start our 27th year.
Mm-hmm.
We produce storytelling events, all different types. We bring in nationally touring storytellers who actually perform from a stage. But then we do a lot of things that demonstrate and show people how storytelling is a part of your everyday life.
It seems like you guys have been doing a lot more of that, workshops or small performances or sort of even like open mic type of things where people are just sharing stories with each other.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. And talking about the power of storytelling.
Yes.
This is not just your kids' story time anymore, and never really has been.
We do some things for kids, mm-hmm. but most of what we do is for adults, mm-hmm. engaging adults. And for some people, it's them learning that they do tell stories every day in their life,
mm-hmm.
and that stories are really important, that especially our family stories are really important to share with younger people and to pass them down.
And that's how we understand the world and how we understand ourselves in the world. I mean, putting ourselves in a story that we've a part of, something we've experienced, by telling it and retelling it gives it a context, it gives it a memory, and that's all part of it, right?
That is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very cool stuff. And it can mm-hmm. be very funny or very sad and both. And
yes.
sometimes all of those and everything else in between.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got some events coming up this summer. The first one is the Storytelling Sampler. I know this is sponsored through Indie Fringe. And you guys do a lot of work with Indie Fringe these days.
Yes, we do a lot of work with them. We do Jabberwocky, mm-hmm. a monthly event. They're sponsoring the Storytelling Sampler. Then we sponsor a stage during the Indie Fringe Festival every year.
Mm-hmm.
So we really do collaborate quite a bit with Indie Fringe.
Yeah, Jabberwocky is the really fun sort of monthly, kind of like you have some invited people who are not necessarily professional storytellers, but telling, there's always a different theme, right? Everything from
yes.
summer camps to first jobs to lost loves. I mean, who knows what it is.
Right. Last month it was about cricket,
uh-huh.
the game
uh-huh.
cricket. So
uh-huh.
we had some professional cricket players that now live in Indianapolis, and they came and really told us, like taught me about the game of cricket,
cool.
but also how the game changed their lives growing up in India and then moving to Indianapolis.
Very neat.
Yes.
What's the next theme? You guys
well,
are working on?
We take off the summer.
Okay.
So in September,
mm-hmm.
it will be about knitting and crocheting, people
nice.
Who knit and crochet.
Okay. And again, mm-hmm. those are at Indie Fringe. But the event that you've got coming up is the Storytelling Sampler, and that is at the History Center.
Yes. And it takes place on Tuesday, June 24th.
Mm-hmm.
beginning at 7 o'clock. And what we're going to do at this event is you get to come and listen to individuals who have participated in many of our community outreach programs.
Okay.
So Todd Zimmerman from Fishers will be representing Jabberwocky.
Mm-hmm.
He told a story at the Fishers Jabberwocky a couple of months ago, and it was quite hilarious. So we thought we would showcase him at this sampler. And then one of our longtime storytellers who's been involved with the As I Recall Storytelling Guild at the Glendale Library, mm-hmm. that's where elders come together once a month to share stories. Sandra Harris will share one of her family stories. And then Sally Perkins, who began her storytelling career as a storyteller for the storytelling at Riley Hospital,
yeah.
will share a story.
Okay.
And then Bob Sander, one of the three co-founders who's a professional storyteller, mm-hmm. will also end the program with a story.
Excellent. Always, yeah. always great stuff from Bob. Always enjoy his stories. So that sounds like a great sampling. That starts at 7 o'clock, again, in the Basile Theater at the Eugene Maryland Glick History Center. That's the one on Ohio Street. And you can get tickets at the door for that. And
Or online.
Or online as well.
At our website.
Very cool. And that sounds like a great evening and a great, as you say, sort of a sampler of storytellers,
mm-hmm.
and should be really fun. Is there any specific theme throughout the night, or is it
no.
just kind of,
it's just,
here's a little bit of everything?
Right, but it's just showing you, and not all of them are what we would call performers. You
mm-hmm.
know, they're
yeah.
more sharing, sitting across the table, but it's going to demonstrate how stories fit into our lives at various places.
Now, one thing that happens with storytelling is sometimes the truth is slightly changed,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it's just an outright lie. And you guys do an event that has to do with lies. Tell me about that.
Yes. This August 1st will be our 6th annual Liars Contest. It takes place on opening night of the Indiana State Fair in Pioneer Village.
Uh-huh.
We have individuals from youth through adults who come and tell a lie, and we have judges, and we offer a first, second, and third place winner with cash prizes. First place winner gets $100. So it's been going on for 6 years, and we have a great audience, and we get tellers from individuals from all over the state who participate.
Now, are these pretty big lies? Are these whopping whale of tales? Or?
It's up to the teller what mm-hmm. they choose to tell. Some of them create their own. Some of them take urban legends and mm-hmm. turn them into whoppers and lies.
Mm-hmm.
But the better the lie, the better chance you have of winning.
When you say the better the lie, the more believably it's told, or just how entertaining and fun it is?
Both.
Yeah.
It's a combination.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
How well they tell it, but also the story itself,
mm-hmm.
the construction of the story, and, you know, if it's believable, if it starts out believable, but then turns into a story that you know can't possibly be true,
mm-hmm.
that's the...
Does anyone ever try to slip some truth in there?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Now, mm-hmm. Do people have to register for that?
No, they just show up. It starts at 7, so
okay.
beginning at 6:30, you can sign up at the event.
Okay.
And Samantha Cross usually MCs mm-hmm. the event. She now works at the Indiana State Fair.
Sam does a great job with that type of work.
Yes,
she's always
does.
A lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she's told a few lies herself, I'm sure.
And we have 4 judges.
Mm-hmm.
And those are people who have been around storytelling a lot.
Very cool.
So it's okay. a great deal of fun.
And then I know you're working on your fall season as well. You've got a lot mm-hmm. of stuff coming up in the future. Anything you can give us a little preview on?
Well, during the Indie Fringe Festival in August, we've
yeah.
got 3 Indiana storytellers who will be showcased on our stage.
Oh, cool. Okay.
We have Bob Sander,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a team of Indianapolis people. I think
mm-hmm.
Travis, you
I
are
may
one
be
of
a
them.
Part of that show. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Sally Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Luann Holman. Luann's from Angola, Sally's from Indianapolis, and Bob's from Indianapolis. So that will be really fun to be to showcase them on the stage, along with I think maybe 4 other performers. Usually 6 to 8 performers on a stage. Mm-hmm. And during that week, we're there promoting our new season and helping to promote all the people showcasing on that stage.
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but the show that I'm in with Bob, I actually, it's a real stretch for me. I play a radio announcer named Travis DiNicola. So, you know, Bob wrote the role just for me, I guess. Either that or I got really lucky on that one. That's going to be a lot of fun. So a lot of storytelling that's going to be a part of Fringe Fest. And Fringe starts October 15th and runs through the 24th. August. So Fringe will be a lot of fun in August. And what else you got going on?
In September, we're bringing in a storyteller by the name of Charlie Chin. He's Chinese American, and he will kick off our new season. And this is the first time that he has been here. And he tells stories within stories. It's called story nesting. Mm-hmm. It's a typical Chinese tea story. And I've heard him several times at the National Storytelling Festival, and it's fascinating how he begins to tell a story, and then one of the characters in that story will tell another story, and from that it goes into another story. But it all winds up, concluding, even in the outer story concludes. But you have to listen carefully not to get lost.
Yeah.
And it's folk tales.
Okay.
That go.
It sounds very dreamlike.
It is. Mm. And he wears traditional Chinese dress, and he uses a fan a great deal in his. And then in October, we're back to Ghost Stories at Crown Hill Cemetery.
Ooh, that's a lot of fun.
Yes. Yeah. It's the second full weekend in October.
Very cool.
It should be a lot of fun. We bring in storytellers from around the state. There's usually 7 or 8 storytellers. And you get to bring a picnic and your own drinks, or you can buy food from the food truck vendors. And it begins around 7, I think, and goes till like 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Very cool. Hey, yeah. Ellen, before we wrap things up, at the beginning of the show, we mentioned you just got back from Cuba, and I do want to ask you about that.
Mm-hmm.
You were down there to check out some artists and musicians?
It was all focused on the arts. So we met dancers and musicians, photographers, painters, mosaic, people who make mosaics out of tile. This one artist, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but his entire house is different mosaic pictures, and he's also then gone on to spread it through the neighborhood. So when you're driving up his neighborhood, like the fence, somebody's fence might be done, somebody's roof might be done, and he does this all on his own. He funds the whole thing himself, which is pretty amazing in Cuba because money is really tight. But we met with the premier contemporary dance company, 45 dancers, and we got to sit in on one of their workshops, one of their morning routine. And then the lead dancer came and talked to us and showed us video and just told us what it was like to be a dancer. He works out from 10 a.m. till 4:30 every day. Then he goes to the university from 6:30 to 9:30. He gets home at 10:30, does his homework, works on some of the new dance movements, and goes to bed and starts again. It's amazing. It's an amazing country.
And you had an opportunity to go there. How?
It's through Rhodes Scholars. Mm-hmm. They used to be called Elder Hostels.
Yep.
That's the only way you can legally go to Cuba. And so it's a cultural exchange.
Excellent. Very cool. Well, welcome back from that. And looking forward so much to some great storytelling going on this summer through all the things that Storytelling Arts is doing. Ellen, thank you so much for coming into Art of the Matter today.
Thank you.
Travis DiNicola with Storytelling Arts Executive Director Ellen Munns. You can find out more about Storytelling Arts at storytellingarts.org, storytellingarts.org. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
You may know DeShong Perry Smitherman through her work as the Eiteljorg Museum's public relations manager, or maybe you met her when she was a producer for Channel 13. But before DeShong had a power career, she was a young woman who would have done just about anything to have participated in a program like A Girl's Gift. A Girl's Gift was co-founded by DeShong and Erica Gibson 5 years ago, but a long list of accomplished women quickly got on board to help mentor preteen girls through this program that uses the arts and business to shape impressionable lives. Sharon Gamble invited DeShong Perry Smitherman and Jennifer Thorington Springer, professor of English, Caribbean Literature, and Gender Studies at IUPUI, and a past board member, mentor, and volunteer, to tell her about A Girl's Gift and the summer's program based at the Eiteljorg.
DeShong, I understand you are one of the mothers, the birth mothers
yes.
of A Girl's Gift.
And it's one of my babies.
Were you in school with your co-creator, or how did you know one another?
No, it's really funny how Erica and I met. I think we met through a mutual friend. And when we saw each other, we just kind of got along really, really well. Mm-hmm. And we just started having lunches together. And so during one of these lunches, which was at Starbucks, it was actually coffee, she said, you know, I've got this wonderful idea. And I think that it's something that you want to do because you're so into doing projects, things that have a start time and a end time. And I think that you want to do this also because of the things that have happened in your life. So she introduced the concept of having a program for girls that would teach them so many different things, teach them how to develop a business plan, help uplift their self-esteem, introduce them to some of the female entrepreneurs in our community. And from jump, I was right on board with her.
I know you pull arts and culture into this program as
Absolutely.
Well. And, you know, the girls of the age for this program, this is 10 to 13, help me.
10 to 14.
So they're sort of late grade school or middle school, and they're getting a little bit of exposure to some of these ideas. But what jumped out at me about this program was the idea of entrepreneurship, and that lots of times we don't even introduce that subject to people until college or graduate school.
Right.
And this is just so intriguing to me. Jennifer, how did you get involved with the Girl's Gift?
Okay. My introduction was quite similar in that Erica and I became really great friends. And it's just amazing how many times we actually ran into each other at different events until we actually sat down and said, yes, we might as well go ahead and get this friendship thing going. But once DeShong and Erica started talking about the idea, I believe that Erica also knew that I, too, had a passion for girls. And women, you know, I do teach gender studies, and so I do understand how critical it is to think about our young girls. And I'm also a mother of two girls, 10 and 7. My own background also by way of having great women in my life who influenced me as I was coming of age and having that desire to give back and understanding how critical it is to have strong women in your life. Of course, we need others as well to come alongside, but it's really good when you can look at someone who's walked that walk and who can help you to navigate that journey and to understand some of the various issues that young girls, as they move into young adulthood, have to face. And so once she made that pitch, I was on board immediately, and I have enjoyed serving in various capacities over time. But
mentor,
I think my
board member.
Yes, but my all-time favorite, I would have to say, is just having that opportunity to engage one-on-one with the girls and
yes.
to learn about them and to help them to become more confident and secure in themselves.
How long has this program been going?
We are so excited that this is year 5. So this is a huge year for us. And we're doing some things differently this year that, you know, because it's year 5, and because we're growing, we feel that we can do more.
Kind of pushes you to up
yes,
your game, doesn't it?
Yes. Like having it at the Idlejorg this year, which is where I work, but still, you know, it's a big cultural institution here in the city. And members of the staff at the Idlejorg they're very excited to work with us and to show our girls the Ansel Adams exhibit. Our girls will be able to take a photography class there. They'll get a chance to learn more about Native American culture and also to check out one of our other big exhibits, which is the George Morrison exhibit. He's mm-hmm. a Native artist.
One of the things that intrigues me about this is you two are so, you're kind of busy. Jennifer, you have two children. Deshaun, you have three, right?
I have three.
And yet you're figuring out how to make time to mentor kids who aren't your own.
It's so important. We have to do it. I didn't have a mentor when I was growing up. And one of the reasons why a girl's gift is so important to me is because I didn't have it when I was a child and I needed it. I was 16 years old when I had my first child. Now she's 21. She's doing really, really well. But had I had a mentor, had I had a program like this, I think that things may have turned out differently. Although I still would want to have that child.
Of course. You know? Of course. And if you're listening, don't worry.
Exactly. And I've got two little ones, too. Yeah. So, you know, I want to create a space in this world for them, you know, where they meet and spend time with strong women. I have a toddler boy and an older toddler girl who's four. So, you know, create a space for them where they're around positive people, where, you know, they have wonderful programs that will help raise them and rear them to find their dreams and go after those entrepreneurial pursuits that they have in mind.
So the curriculum for the Summer Institute touches a lot on business, on entrepreneurship, but also pulls in sort of ways to think about your own education if you're one of the girls in the program, ways to think about etiquette and manners and how you appear to the world. Mm-hmm. And one of the from your website, one of the aspects of the Institute I found most intriguing is the creation of dream boards, helping
yes.
girls to articulate what their dreams are, which is such a creative pursuit. They're pointing at mm-hmm. each other because you both have stories to tell
who
about
wants
them.
Who wants to talk about it?
Both of you can.
Okay, sure. I'll start. Well, we started out with doing dream books for the girls. Mm-hmm. But that was a great idea, although, you know, you may not be able to complete an entire book. You know, you get handed this blank book and it's 90 pages long and you won't be able to fill it up during the course of the workshop, which is just 1 week. So we changed the idea from dream books to dream boards. And what the kids are able to do on their very first day is to think about who they are. What are their dreams? What are some of the things that they want to do in the future? And what steps do they need to take in order to get there? So the dream board is a trifold board, and we ask them to put beautiful pictures, poems, you know, only positive affirmations about yourself in the first slot. And then the second slot is, this is who I want to be, or these are some of the goals that I have for my life, be it own my own, let's say my own clothing line, or, you know, develop a adjustable high heel shoe, which was actually
Whoa.
One of our ideas. Yeah, it was pretty cool, you know, or on my own photography business.
Yeah.
And then on the third part of the dream board, they list some of the goals that it's going to take in order to do that. Do well in school, take pictures, learn how to work a camera, learn more about fashion, those kinds of things.
Take the statistics class, even though it's going to scare me.
Yes,
right, or whatever. Yeah,
yeah. I really appreciate that aspect of the program, actually, because it does give the girls a chance to be forward-looking, right, and to be able to define themselves in a way that's very empowering, and it builds their confidence. Because let's face it, we do know that we are in a time where it's very difficult for young girls to feel great about themselves based on the challenges that they face by way of media and the images that are out there. How do we challenge those, right? One of the ways that in which we can challenge that, or, you know, put a pause on the various issues that evolve as a result would be to have them think about who they are and who they want to become and what, you know, resources they would need in order to secure the goals that they have set for themselves. And I just find it to be a rather empowering project. And, you know, the fact it's kind of like journaling in a more sophisticated way and in a way that doesn't necessarily bore them. Right. Because we know that not everyone is fond of just writing, even though I would advocate that writing is a great tool based on my own profession. However, I do think that they're at that age where most things are visual. And so this gives them an opportunity to use various types of media as well as they create these dream boards.
So I'm intrigued, too, by the idea. We certainly live in a time when people of all ages are connected to people of all other ages everywhere in the world through the internet. Nevertheless, kids, especially young ladies of this age, young women of this age, are still kind of in a rut because at their school they have an identity.
Yes.
They're in this crowd or that crowd. They run with this pack or that pack. And you're pulling them in this program into a pack they don't know. It's a brand new pack. Mm-hmm. How long does it take for those 22 girls to loosen up and start to really talk to each other?
That's a good question, and that's something that we, you know, really, really work on doing in terms of making a girl's gift a comfortable place for these girls. So, yes, they come in on the first day, and this is a program that goes. It goes like this. But they come in on the first day, and many of them don't know each other. But we develop different icebreakers, and each day the girls are made to stand up and to speak. Many of them have never been on a stage before. They've never had to stand in front of an audience, period. But we make them stand up and speak. Tell us something positive about yourself. What is your I am statement that you want everybody to know? And slowly but surely, a connection starts to occur between these girls. And it's actually very beautiful. Mm-hmm. So you ask the time length. And I would say that by the end of day one, because these are 8-hour days, you know.
These are like work days.
Yes, they are. They are. You know, it's aggressive and assertive and it's fun. But by the end of the day, they have started to connect and to make these relationships, and they become best friends. You know how girls can be.
Oh, yeah.
Next day may not be best friends, but first day they are.
Right, of course. And I also think that those of us who work so hard to, you know, put these workshops together, et cetera, and the various icebreakers, we do try our best to create that safe space that you're talking about. But a lot of the activities do force them to connect with each other and to rely on each other in ways where they start to trust each other faster than they would if, say, they were in a different space.
Just together in math class.
Yeah, just together. Yeah. Absolutely. I think that the activities really force them to engage with each other and with us. And we also walk around and try to get to know them a lot. And I think there's humor sometimes.
Oh,
humor
yes.
goes a long way. But we also share our own stories with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we do that very early on, it helps them to relax. They realize that, you know, there's no us them where there's such a distance between us. You know, I think they get it rather quickly that we are trying to empower them in specific ways. And again, when we share our stories, I think that's a form of empowerment, too. And it really helps them to relax and they get very excited about the next few days.
Jennifer, tell me a favorite moment from the past.
Goodness, there are so many. However, I think my favorite moment would have to be seeing the student who walks in on the first day and who is as quiet as a mouse and very timid, afraid to stand in front of a crowd to share her own identity profile or to talk about a business plan, etc. But then at the end of the program, to see that young girl standing tall, shoulders back, chin up, just ready to present her final project, or just, you know, they may still have some apprehension, but the fact that they can actually do it and assert themselves in a particular kind of way, that has been such a blessing. It's really rewarding to see that happen. And of course, we encourage all types of personality types. But at the end of the day, we do understand the importance of being able to, you know, speak up for yourself, to have a voice, and yes, not to be, you know, not to be afraid to profile yourself in a way that's positive. So again, it's not like we want every girl to be, you know, the life of the party or the person who knows how to work the room.
Sure.
Because we do know that there are those who are a little more quiet and a little more reserved who do great things as well. And they have their own ways of being in the world. But I think for us, we also do get that they will have to be able to be assertive and to be confident when sharing their perspectives or anything about themselves. So for me, watching them evolve over time is absolutely just so rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Tearjerker.
A favorite moment?
Yes. I can think of one from last year. We had this beautiful girl. Her name was Kendall. Sorry, Kendall. You may not have wanted me to give your name. But she came into our program, and we knew that she could dance. We knew that she could dance, but for whatever reason, she would not dance in front of any of the girls in the program. But we kept on, you know, telling her, we know you're great. We know you're a beautiful dancer. And I would say by about day three, because they have to get their dances or their talents ready for our grand finale, when we saw this girl dance, it was absolutely breathtaking, and it would bring tears to your eyes to see just how beautiful and how confident she was, you know, by day three. And by day seven or day eight, you couldn't tell her anything. I mean, she was absolutely wonderful.
Sharon Gamble with DeShong Perry Smitherman and Jennifer Thorington Springer of A Girl's Gift. This summer's program runs July 21st through July 27th. And you can apply right now. You can learn more at agirlsgift.wix.com. Let me repeat that. agirlsgift.wix.com.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon?
You had a birthday since we last
talked.
Sharon. I bet I know at least one thing you did on your birthday, and you're going to tell us a little bit about it on that calendar we call
What'll We Do?
And it wasn't eat chocolate and drink a cold frosty beverage. I know what you listeners are thinking.
What?
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 That never happens in Travis's life.
I don't know
life.
What you're talking no. about, Sharon. But I had a lovely birthday and a great time. And
did you see a film?
You know what? I did happen to see a film pretty recently, now that you mention it, and that would be, of course, The Fault in Our Stars. And I'm sure everyone else has seen it already, but if you haven't, go see it. It's absolutely delightful. If you've read John Green's book, it's a very, very close adaptation of the book. If you're a fan of the book, you'll love the movie. If you haven't read the book, then I think I went to see it with some people who hadn't read it, and they just loved it as well. Make sure you bring lots of Kleenex. I was actually at a preview of it where they handed out Kleenex to everybody before the movie started. Hey, something else that's really cool, though, about this book is that Heartland Film has just honored it with their Truly Moving Picture Award, and as well they should. So that's a very cool thing that the Truly Moving Picture Award for Heartland Films goes to The Fault in Our Stars. Go check it out. John Green's new movie, playing everywhere.
Local boy makes good. We love that. Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of local, Eclectic Pond Theater Company is a local company that is doing something, well, you know, it might just be a little crazy or mad. They're presenting throughout this month The Wars of the Roses, 8 plays, 8 hours, 8 actors, 1 epic experience. And they remind us that before Game of Thrones dominated the airwaves with its saga of royal families fighting for powers, that Shakespeare dramatized the very, very real and very bloody struggle for the English crown. And Eclectic Pond has adapted these Shakespeare plays to 1 hour apiece, and you can see them throughout the month of June. Schedule's too complicated to go into here, but if you go to eclecticpond.org, you can find out the schedule, and you're going to be seeing these shows at the Irvington Lodge, 5515 East Washington Street. So check that out.
Well, I just want to give a plug for the play that's going on at the Phoenix that is just open there. Cock, that is the cockfight play. I don't know what you were thinking, but that's what the play is, and it is done in Phoenix style. Nothing more to say. Nothing else needs to be said. But maybe don't bring your kids.
No, you don't want to bring your kids. Really fascinating play about
our sexual identity and communication. Let's see.
Take these things so seriously.
Sorry. I'm thinking about other things, like something you can take your kids to.
I was just giggling inside like a fifth grader.
My son Pinocchio Jr., which is the Booth Tarkington Civic Theater family-friendly musical that runs through Wednesday, June 18th, and the cast is all children. So something very family-friendly. It's a retelling of the classic tale of Pinocchio, and, you know, your kids might not know that story yet. So if you have children in your life, thinking about going to see that at the Tarkington.
You know, there's a ton of stuff going on this weekend. I mean, just, you know, looking at the calendar for things going on the 14th and 15th and stuff this weekend. I mean, Sharon, we've got Talbot Street. We've got the Independent Music and Art Fest over at Heron. Daphnis and Chloe, which we talked about with the ISO and DK. The Pairings Concert, which you covered. My gosh, it goes on and on and on.
Over at Indie Reads Books, three poets doing a poetry reading at Indie Reads Books on the 14th, starting at 4.
Is no excuse not to get out and enjoy some great stuff coming up this weekend.
So true.
Yeah. Yeah, what we got time for like maybe one more thing, Sharon. What do you got?
Okay, one more thing. So beginning June 14th, Explore Brown County has something new and exciting, Hill Climb Buggy Tours. You'll encounter pioneer home sites, a Native American encampment, and a graveyard dating back to the 1800s. So it's a little bit of a time travel trip, and you can find that by going to your favorite search engine and typing Explore Brown County.
Wow.
I know.
Lots of good stuff going on.
Yep.
Very cool. Okay, well, we will be back next week with more things to do and your birthday to celebrate.
Yes, that's right.
There we go. On that calendar we call
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
Comedian Scott Gregory has provided comedy and inspirational communication for audiences across America on many TV shows and in numerous clubs. He's bringing the laughs back home this June for a fundraiser for CHIP, the Coalition for Homelessness Intervention and Prevention. Travis DiNicola spoke with Scott about this show and about his work.
Scott, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you here today.
Thank you, Travis. Pleasure to be here, and we really want to thank you, or I want to thank you for having us in, and I'm sure Chip does too. So
absolutely, glad to. And well, Chip is a great organization, and really glad that you're involved with them. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes, but before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about your work as a comedian. You're known for being very family-friendly and inspiring, and I'm kind of curious. It's an interesting brand of comedy, so tell me how you got involved in this.
Oh, I guess I couldn't help it. So, you know, it's coupon day at Kroger. Something happened like that. So, No, actually, I was working at I actually worked at Lane Bryant,
really,
for a while. Yes, yeah. In the dressing rooms behind the double mirrors. No.
Just
no.
Okay.
So, actually, did though, and was told, man, there's a comedy contest. You ought to go out for it because you're really funny. So, so I did. I made it into the finals. I didn't win, but that was sort of the start, and it was here in Indy.
Okay. How long ago was that for you?
Oh, wow. That's a long
that's
time
a way,
ago.
Way back. Did you have a background in theater or writing, or it was just something that sort of came to you?
No, it just happened.
Yeah.
So and actually, by making it in the finals of that contest, I said, well, I actually had a guy that came up and offered me work, and I thought, well, I can do this. So I kept doing open mic, and within a year, I was on the road.
Cool.
Full time. So
very cool.
Yeah, it was great. Ended up a couple years into that. Was invited to be a part of a HBO comedy showcase. Mm-hmm. And so good things were happening in the clubs, but Then I did the normal transition from, from comedy clubs, several years doing that, into youth ministry. Hey,
that makes sense, right?
So then I sort of combined the two, but you know, even just walking in here, you know, I saw the signs out there that you know, video surveillance. So you guys will film anything, won't you?
Pretty much.
You're recording and film just about anything.
So, I mean, this is, it's a neat mix of work that you do. And you've had some great success, I mean, with the clubs and corporate gigs and some TV appearances and stuff. How do you describe your own work? Or I mean, I don't know. I mean, do comedians have resumes, or do you do like a quick like 30-second thing, or how does that work?
You know? I need to get a resume. You just reminded me. I need a resume. See, just from being right here with you, Travis, good things
help.
Are happening. Mm-hmm. So, I can't say that I started out that way. Mm-hmm. I think you just have to get up there and find out who you are. So even in the clubs, I originally, you know, I wrote a mixture of just funny stuff, everyday stuff, and then some blue stuff. And eventually I just didn't like that. So I just went with what I gravitated toward. And I think you have to work a little bit harder to be able to pull that off. So that's just me. So I guess it just kind of comes out that way. And I've always worked clean or family friendly, however you want to say. So.
Yeah. You've got four kids, so right? Is that
I do.
So I mean, I imagine they provide some inspiration.
Two boys, two girls: Andrew, Daniel, Amy, Deborah. ADAD. It just turned out that way. So it wasn't actually planned, but until the last one. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the more kids you have, the less attention you're able to provide in one place at one time. So, great though. My wonderful wife, four children. And get to do, you know, the two things I love to do the most. So I've always worked that way. And
when you're putting together a routine, I mean, do you sit down? Do you write the whole thing out as a script? Do you use note cards and move them around? Do you subject your family to practicing it? I mean, how does that all work?
Well, I might be guilty a little bit of that, but. So it can happen any way whatsoever, I'm telling you right now. So sometimes you write something, you take it up the first time, and it just kicks, and you're glad and you're thankful, and then sometimes you go away, and they didn't get it, or you didn't get it right, or something, and you know something's there. You've got a gold nugget.
Yeah.
And so I've actually kept stuff, and I've actually gone back, and something has clicked 2 years later as you're just looking through old notes, and something will just... You know, it'll just hit, and you'll just get inspired, and you'll write it, and you'll know where you want to go with it, and sometimes you just keep playing with stuff like that, so.
Well, you mentioned video. I mean, do you ever, you know, tape yourself and then watch sort of afterwards and see how crowds react and try to analyze that, or?
Yeah, I've done that times, yes. Mm-hmm. You'll record because sometimes you'll say it live, like you've never rehearsed it, and it just comes out the way you want.
Yeah.
I just find the whole process of
putting together a, you know, a stand-up comedy show such a kind of a really fascinating thing.
Yeah, I'm not in a lab coat in the basement, but it seems that way sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you'll just see something, or you'll experience something, and you write it and you take it up there and you develop it. So
it's an interesting combination of having to be both a writer and a performer, you know, and not all artists are both and are doing both, you know, and many actors, you know, are not writers, and many writers are not actors, and vice versa. But, you know, having, you know, sort of both and doing your own material, it's just it's got to be a lot of fun for you, too.
It's fun. And if I could do either one of those, write or perform, I would be so much better at this. So you have just everyday stuff. My wife sends me out to get a bottle of toilet bowl cleaner. That's my big task for the day, buddy. So I'm in the
Quite
store holding a bottle of toilet bowl cleaner. On the bottle of toilet bowl cleaner, enormous red letters, harmful vapors. And then they give it a Country Fresh scent. What's the message? You know, we want you to be passing out and cracking your head against the toilet and thinking about the lovely outdoors. That's our big message to you.
Nice. Yeah. So a lot of observational work. It sounds very cool. It sounds like you do a great show. Obviously, you enjoy it. And you've got this partnership with CHIP that they've been enjoying. You said you did this with them last year, right? How did you get involved with CHIP?
Actually, through a mutual connection to us, Eric Schwartz and his entertainment mm-hmm. business. And so he's the one that I've known him for a while, and he was trying to help them to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it happened. So just a mutual connection. And he plugged me in there.
Normally homelessness isn't that funny. But
you got a point.
But it's pretty cool that CHIP is doing this as a fundraiser to have you there and do the show and do it again. And I guess last year they were actually able to bring in some clients from Wheeler Mission to the audience.
Correct. And I believe that is happening again this year.
That's very cool.
And yes. So, it's an honor to be able to do this type of program.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in churches a lot or corporations. And so, but this one, they are great people. The CHIP people are great people. Jen Hunt is the one that I mm-hmm. Have spoken with the most or worked with the most. But, there and you go to their website and you learn. So in part of the whole thing, comedy is effective. It's such an effective tool. They've done so much research with comedy. It's unreal what it actually helps you connect with your attention span. It helps mm-hmm. you to be open to new ideas. It helps you to learn. It physically actually boosts your immune system when you have a good sustained time of laughter. It helps you socially. There's just so many benefits that you get from laughter.
And so being able to laugh, right?
Right, exactly. And being able to tie that in with something where you can bring awareness
mm-hmm.
or actually bring someone to be involved with CHIP, either through donating or through serving, it's worth it.
That's a pretty cool thing.
It's just a win-win.
Yeah.
Win-win-win, or well, I don't know how many wins are in there, but
at least a couple.
Yeah,
and just a reminder: CHIP is the Coalition for Homelessness Intervention Prevention. Is what CHIP stands for. I'm sure there's some jokes that are out there about CHIP or chips or whatever. I don't know. You'll find them. I have no doubt you'll find them. I'm sure there's also a fair number of comedians who are homeless. So I mean,
TV
whatever,
shows you know. That didn't survive the 70s.
Yeah, chips. Yeah. I'll take that category, Alex. So, but it seems like giving back it sounds like a big part of the work that you do, Scott.
It is.
Yeah. Tell me a bit about that.
Well, the youth ministry thing, once I came out and I started doing that, then, the tie-in was, I saw how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was encouraged to do that. And then that just developed. So then I started doing the speaking thing and using the comedy. Going
cool.
into churches and
yeah.
And talking about faith things and and I guess to me giving what I feel like is the biggest or most important message that people can receive in having a relationship with God and connecting mm-hmm. in that way. So for me, getting to do both of those things, it's quite incredible. It's fun. It's fun. And that's I think that's the real twist or the ire is that, you can actually have fun and do something serious
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't come off it comes off great. It's a fun time. So, and, the last group that they had there, the last thing that I did with them and it's that second prez also on Meridian,
mm-hmm. right?
Good things happen on Meridian right here, right on this street, right?
Second prez has a lot of great events going on all the time. It's very cool. I mean, but arts events, music events, they've got this going on. I mean, it's a great space. So let me ask you a question I've never, ever asked a guest before.
Great.
Does God get your jokes?
I think now here's how I see it. The reason that we have humor is because that's part of him. So I think that's in his personality. So I think he does. I think he does.
Very so. Cool. Scott, where can we see you next besides the event this weekend for CHIP? Where should we look
oh,
for
man.
You?
Oh man.
Well, I know you've got a website, right? And I'm sure you get updates on there. Scott, great.
I know I'm doing a camp up in northern Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Not to, later this summer.
Cool.
I don't know where I am locally.
Okay.
So,
well, right now you're here at Art of the Matter.
That's great. Dude, I really appreciate this.
Well, glad to have you in. Glad to have you in. And definitely check out the website, scottgregorycomedy.com, for more information as well about Scott Gregory specifically. Scott, it's been a real pleasure having you in Art of the Matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Travis. Really nice to get to meet you and to be a part of the program. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Travis DiNicola with comedian Scott Gregory. The CHIP fundraiser to end homelessness featuring Scott takes place on Saturday, June 14th at the Second Presbyterian Church, 7700 North Meridian Street. And it is a family-friendly show. You can get more information at chipindy.org. Search under their community event calendar, chipindy.org. Look under the community event calendar.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Vaselli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m. when I find out what's going on that's new at Owl Studios.
I'll talk with author Ben Winters about his new book, The Third in the Last Policeman Trilogy.
And I'll get a preview of a concert with a Colombian theme. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.